Lord, we thank you once again for entrusting us, O God, with your word and with your word. Lord, we come before you and humble ourselves, knowing, O God, that apart from you, we cannot understand your word. Lord, let your word, O God, come to our hearts with revelation and understanding. Lord, we ask, O God, that the Holy Spirit will enlighten our hearts and our minds, that we may know exactly what you want us to hear. Lord, speak to us through your word. Speak to us, O God, through your servant, that we may hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. Lord, we come before you and worship you in spirit and in truth. Give you glory, give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody say, Amen. Amen. Well, today I'm going to speak about Deborah. Well, probably some of you have never heard about Deborah. But Deborah was one of the women used by God in the scripture. And last time we talked about Esther, Barbara talked about Esther, another woman used by God. And remember, when God called Esther, just like everybody else, they were all doubting. I mean, they did not think God could use them. They were saying, who, me? God will use me? So they were kind of doubting that God will use them. And so, God encouraged them by giving them a word that they can rely on, a word that they can use to continue to encourage them as they walk with the Lord continuously. And that is the same way here in the case of Deborah. Deborah was used by God at the time where there is so much oppression and pain and trouble in Israel, because of sin. We have seen this as a pattern in the life of the people of God, or the people of Israel. You know, when God gives them a blessing, their response is disobedience. Their response is sin. Their response is idolatry. They worship, they begin to worship other gods. And then, so God gave them over to their enemies. But you know, God is merciful. Whenever God's people come to Him and repent, come to Him and cry out to the Lord, He always forgives them and He always sends a deliverer. And this time God used Deborah to encourage Barak, not the president, to encourage Barak to lead God's people to battle against their enemies. And we know what happened. God delivered them from oppression from their enemies. So we have seen this pattern over and over again in the book of Judges. And we know that the reason why this happened is because, as the Bible says, the inclination of man's heart is evil from the very beginning of time. And most of you will ask this question, and I always ask this question as well. Why is there so much evil in the world today? You know, that's a valid question. Why is there so much pain in the world today? Well, the answer is, because man, when he decided to rebel against God, has been doing what God says is evil in the eyes of the Lord. Is there hope for this evil?
Of course there is.
As we have seen in the life of Israel, in the life of God's people, God always sent a deliverer. And in this case, he sent Deborah. And then Deborah encouraged Barak. And then Barak led God's people to defeat their enemy. And then we have seen God glorified in the end. If there's one thing I believe God will do, especially in these last days, especially when he comes back here on earth again, is that God will right every wrong. Remember this. We may not have seen justice done here on earth right now. We may have seen a lot of injustices in the world today. We have seen a lot of troubles and pain and problems in the world today. But there's one thing sure. God will right every wrong one day. Just like what he did in this particular story. Now the question is, when we are waiting for God to right every wrong, to bring justice on earth, what are we going to do? Are we just going to stay here and wait for God to come and do nothing? You know, some people are saying, well, let's just wait for God to come and then let all the enemies of God be destroyed and then just do nothing. As we can see here in this story, if there's one thing God hates, is when his people do nothing. So what can we do? Or what you and me can do in order to be used by God in our time or in your situation or in this particular time that we're living in? How can God use you? Probably that's the question you have about yourself too. How can God use me? What can we learn from the story of Deborah that we can apply in our life, that we can hold on, that we can use as a principle of life here on earth? Let me give you some principles that I learned from the book of from this book. Number one, God gives. Remember, God is the one who is the source of all authority. God gives to women the same spiritual gifts that he gives to men. It's like what I said, I always say, God is no respecter of persons. He uses men as well as women. He gave men and women the same spiritual gifts. As we can see here in the life of Deborah. You know, Deborah was a prophet, was a prophetess. She was used by God not only as a prophet, she was a judge. She was leading Israel. They were coming to her for advice or counsel or anything spiritual. So that we cannot say that God cannot use women, because God has used women in the scripture. So women have every access to every spiritual gift that men have access to. But in the Old and the New Testament, God established certain positions that he wants only for men to play, and others he wants only for women to play. If there's one thing that the Bible teaches, it is the equality of position. It is the equality of gifting, but with distinctive roles in family and church. You know, that is what we have seen in the scripture, and both in God's designed role for men and women in the family and church. So God is no respecter of person. Even if you are a woman, even if you are, if you think God may not use you, God will use you if you avail yourself and say, God, here I am, send me. And in this particular case, God used Deborah to encourage a man who at first was reluctant, who at first said, I will not go if you don't go with me. How courageous. But we have seen here, Deborah was so courageous and said to Barak, I will go with you. Even though God did not call her to lead the army, God called Barak to lead the army because they have different roles. They have different responsibilities. But as we have seen here, God will use anyone he chooses. So God will use a woman as well as men to accomplish his purposes. Another thing I can learn, that we can learn from this, is this. God wanted every man. How many men do we have here? Raise your hand. You know, God wanted all men to willingly take the responsibility to lead. All men say amen.
Amen.
It is, if God wants something for men to do, it is the responsibility to lead. Amen. And in this particular case, God used Deborah to encourage Barak to lead God's people to defeat their enemies. He was reluctant at first, but, you know, later he was convinced by Deborah. You know what the scripture says? Let's read, if you have your Bible, let's read chapter 5. Chapter 5, the next chapter after the scripture that we read. Chapter 5, verse 1 and verse 9. It says here, when the princess, meaning the men, when the princes in Israel take the lead, when the people willingly offer themselves, praise the Lord. And then it says in verse 9, my heart is with the willing volunteers among the people. What happens when the people of God, when the men of God, when the princes of God lead? The Bible says, the people praise the Lord. Amen? So when you see men leading God's people, leading the church, or leading the work of God, the Bible says, the people praise the Lord. But many men today are missing the calling that God has for them. You know, in verse 13 of the same chapter, Deborah listed out the various tribes who stepped up to fight and those who didn't.
He said in verse 14, from Ephraim, from Issachar, in verse 15, from verse 18, from Zebulun. And then in verse 17, he said, however, Gilead remained in Jordan, and Dan lingered with the ships. There are those who step up, and there are those who remain at home and do nothing. So what is this saying to men, to all men? There are a lot of men standing on the sidelines when they ought to be in the fight. You know what the original sin of Adam is? The original sin of Adam is his failure to get involved. You know, he was with Eve when the devil tempted her, but she did nothing. When the devil was tempting Eve, he was there with Eve, but he did not do anything. When he can stop Eve, and when he can say, Eve, you know, don't do that. There are so many men today that are just standing on the sidelines when they ought to be out in the fight. Even Barak, as I said, was reluctant at first. He didn't want to go. He was probably afraid. But when God said to him through Deborah that I will deliver your enemies to you. Just bring this so many number of people to you, and I will give your enemies to your hand. She probably began to be encouraged. But at first she was reluctant to follow the Lord's instructions. And I believe that is the same is true today. There are many men whom God has called to be involved in the church, to do what God wanted them to do, but they don't want to step up. They don't want to step up. You know, if there's one thing I believe God wanted men to do, is to step out and fight for the kingdom of God. You know, the great temptation for men is not to do evil, but to do nothing. Can you say amen? Mm-hmm. That's the greatest temptation for men today. It is not to do evil, it is to do nothing. You know, in most churches, according to one report, female applicants outnumber males 4-1 in those applications. Not to take anything from those women, but the question is, where are the men? Men, God has given you a crucial role to play that cannot be replicated, that cannot be done by anyone else except you and me. Just like what the scripture says, if your family or this church or any church is going to praise the Lord, it is because you step forward to lead. All men say amen. So what happens? When the princes of God lead, the Bible says we praise the Lord. When the princes abdicate or neglect their duties, the people of God suffer. You know, every sociological studies done points to the fact that the greatest determining factor on how the kids will turn out is dependent on the leadership of the father. You know, there are so many broken families today.
And the reason for the broken families is because men would not step up to the plate. Because men will not do their duties as fathers and leaders of the house, leaders of the home. So they neglect, they are either absent from being fathers, or they neglect their duties or their responsibilities as fathers. According to one psychologist, actually she authored the book Strong Fathers and Strong Daughters, she said through masculinity or being macho is the moral exercise of authority. She said, you men were made for a reason. You were made a man to be strong, loving husband and father. So listen to your instincts and do what is right. Be a hero. Amen? Men, God has called us to lead. And when we start to lead, the scripture says, people praise the Lord. You know, there are plenty of guys in the world today, but we need men. We need men today to lead, not only in their houses, in their homes, but to lead in the church of God. So how can God use us? Let's step up. Just like Deborah. Although she was a woman, she stepped up and God used her. And then Barak, although he was a little bit, reluctant, but when she was encouraged by a woman, then he begins to step. And then another thing I saw here in the text is this. If there is one thing God hates, it is those who are lazy. Those who stay in the sidelines. What do we call them? They are called spectators. You know what a spectator is? Those who just watch things happen. Someone said there are three kinds of people. One who make things happen. One who watch things happen. And number three, those who don't know what happened. And as we have seen here, God curses spectators. In verse 23 of chapter 5, it says, curse meros. I don't even know what meros is. But the Bible says, curse meros, said the angel of the Lord, curse its people bitterly because they did not come to help the Lord, to help the Lord against the mighty. What does the scripture say? It doesn't say they did not do anything bad. It doesn't say they smoked dope or raided someone's tent. It says they just did not do anything. You know, if there's anything God hates, it is those who go to church like a religious event that they attend. What I meant is they come to church, but they're not involved. And as we have seen in the scripture, God curses this kind of inactivity. Sitting on the sidelines not only robs you of reward, it puts you under a curse. Don't tell me you are okay as long as you are not doing anything bad. There are two ways to be evil or to be wicked. Wickedness can come not only from what you do, it can also come from what you fail. answer the call of God, whatever it is for us. So what does God require from us? All that God requires is a simple obedience. You know, you can come over here every Sunday after Sunday, give your tithes and offerings, you know, and do all those kind of stuff. But if there's one thing that God requires of you, it is simple obedience. The Bible says, to obey is better than sacrifice. Amen? If God wanted you to do something, it is to obey Him rather than sacrifice. And as we have seen in the book of Judges, God always brings down a powerful tyrant through the hand of a weak instrument. We have seen that in Gideon's life. We have seen that in this particular situation. God always uses someone weak to shame the strong. Amen? You know, one thing I'm particularly interested here is what God used to kill God's enemy. God used a tenth plague. You know, a tenth plague during the time was a common household item, not a weapon of warfare. You know, Sisera was killed by an ordinary weapon used in a household. It's like being killed by a frying pan. You know, in our description today, frying pan is the common household item. You know, that is how God used, you know, what God used to kill the enemy of God. God used an ordinary household item to kill the enemy of God. You know, God is not looking for ability. God is looking for availability. You know who God used? God used Jael. And who's Jael? Jael is even not known in the scripture. She was a woman. Probably Barak thought that Deborah is the one God will use, but God used another woman named Jael to kill the enemy of God. And in verse 24 of chapter 5, it says, most blessed of women be Jael. Now, when we talk about being blessed, I always remember Mary. The Bible says, more blessed are you among women. You know why she was the most blessed among women? Because she said, be it unto me according to you. In other words, she obeyed right away what God wanted her to do. In the same way, God wanted us to do something that only you can do. Amen? Only you and I can do. But are you willing to pray the prayer? Be unto me according to your word. Where you said, God, I will give whatever you want me to give. I will serve whatever you want me to serve. I will trust in you. And then the next principle I saw here is what I said. The first. God will right every wrong one day. Like what He did here in this particular case. Toward the end of Deborah's song, she begins to mock Sisera. In verse 28, she sarcastically put words in Sisera's mother's mouth, where she said, why is my son Sisera taking so long to return? And then the ladies of the court all around her say, oh,
because there's so much Israelite spoiled and divided. And then in verse 30, they say, really, crudely, and there is a womb of, or two for every man. In other words, you know what they're doing? They're raping the women of Israel. They're saying, like, there are so many women in Israel, probably they're busy right now, they're doing all those kind of things that, you know, are evil, not only in the eyes of the Lord, but in the eyes of society. And what can you see here? We can see here that perfect justice is being served. You know, Sisera has spent his life oppressing and abusing women. But in the end, he is brought down by a woman with a Hebrew version of a crying man. I believe this is the Old Testament version of Gilgal. Amen. You know, we love these kind of stories where God delivered them, and we love to savor, you know, what God has done with them. But in the end, this is what God says in verse 31, and I conclude with this. Next slide. This is the prayer of Deborah as part of her song. He said, may all your enemies perish, Lord. May all who love you be like the sun when it rises to its light. You know, in this story, just like what I said, we see the glimpse of how it is going to end. In the end, God will settle all scores. And this story, like all the stories of the Bible, points us to Jesus. Amen? Like Jael, he is the unexpected Savior whom everyone assumed was weak, but slew the enemy by surprise. You know, the book of Judges points us to Jesus, the ultimate deliverer, the ultimate Savior, the one who will save us from all our troubles and pain and problems, because he is the only hope. He's the only one who can save us from our enemies. But we need to trust God, just like, you know, Deborah trusted God. Though she was a woman, she knew God has a word for her. God has a word for her. And she did that word and did it accordingly. My friends, my brothers and sisters, only through Jesus Christ can oppression be ended, can justice be restored. And you are in Christ. The Bible says that the Son of God's love and light will rise upon you in His strength. You know, eternity is not far away from us. There will come a time where the Bible says there will be no pain, no sadness, and God will wipe every tear from our eyes. And there's no more mourning or crying or pain, because of all things have passed away. And the good things, all things have become. It's only possible through Jesus Christ. Amen. He is the ultimate warrior. Amen. He is the ultimate deliverer. Amen. He is the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. But we must entrust ourselves to Him, because He is our only hope. Let us pray.